Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody. Just wanted to check in with you again here for another week of Talking Hoops. It's a pretty exciting season. Lots going on. Last week we talked to Peter Woodburn of Slipper Still Fits, Gonzaga facing St. Mary's at home. And he was predicting a win, and I think everyone was pretty much predicting a win, but that didn't happen. It's a tumble. It's an exciting season in college basketball this year, that's for sure. Lots of unpredictable, you know, non-standard things. But one thing's going pretty good. We've got head coach of the Montana Grizzlies, Travis DeCuire, on the line. Is that you, Coach DeCuire?
Yes, it is. How's it going?
Good to have you here. It's always great to have you back. And things are going great over there in Missoula. And you went on the road and got a win there against Montana State, who at that time was the second place team in the Big Sky. And now you're up on the whole conference, two games, riding pretty high, Coach. What do you explain this as?
Defense. You know, we've improved last month and a half offensively with our pace and producing quite a bit of points offensively. But I think our defense is what's carrying us to victory, forcing turnovers and minimizing open shots for guys that tend to score at a high rate.
You know, it sounds like pretty much what's been going on. Jay Townsend's on the line also from the Spokane area. Jay, you there?
Hey, Jim, and Coach DeCuire.
You're a little faint, Jay. Can you get us off a speakerphone, or is there something wrong with your phone?
I'm actually in the car, so I got a new Bluetooth these days, so I'll just mostly listen.
Okay, sounds good. We got some good callers here. So, basically, what I'm seeing in your team is a couple of guys that just starting off. I mean, you had, for one thing, you had the Big Sky Player of the Week this past week, and we'll see who gets it this coming week. But you know, you've got a lot going in the right direction, and that was Michael Oguine. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Oguine,
Michael Oguine, and he's a Big Sky Player of the Week, and that was before this week's game that he was named that, and we'll see what happens this coming week. But basically, the long and short of it is he's had a great year. Jamar Akoh is another guy's had a great year, and two guys, one guy from the Seattle, from the Tacoma area, Ahmad Rory, who a lot of people on here know, is having another great year. And then Bobby Moorhead had a double-double against Montana State and just had a tremendous game, and he's been consistently good too. You know, I guess that's four guys that are really producing for you. What is it about those guys that specifically has you know, changed for the better over the course of this season?
Well, for us, it's been a team effort. You know, I think that our defense got better from November to mid-December with a better understanding of our concepts and playing as a unit. And then I think the same thing offensively is we just got to a point where we've been executing very well, scoring off of our defense, and our balance has been our strength. You know, back-to-back weeks, Jamar Akoh averaged 22 and 10, got player of the week, and then last week, Michael Guinea got it after him. Ahmad Rory's been our leading scorer, just under 20 a game. So for us, it's been a group effort. You know, the balance offensively has just been difficult for teams to take one thing away, and I think the guys have adjusted well to who the hot hand is and going to it. And then on the defensive end, we just had an opportunity to get out, be aggressive, and shut guys down. You know, Bobby had an incredible weekend, you know, holding Tyler Hall to zero made baskets in the second half, 10 points, which is 9 points under his average. Ahmad Rory held Hero Frey zero made baskets in the second half. So as a unit, you know, I just think the chemistry of this team has been strong. And then we've had some guys that have done some things that just don't show up on the stat sheet. Timmy Falls defensively has played a major role for us, and also on the offensive end, creating shots for others, four assists, one turnover, and then Saeed Pridgett is also created some depth for us as another go-to offensive player inside and out. So really at the end of the day, I just think our balance has been our strength.
Yeah, it sounds like it really. It sounds like you've got a really balanced team. There's lots of talent there, that guys that are producing, and you pretty much, you embarrass your in-state rival on the road pretty convincingly. They've been having a pretty good season so far. So that's got to be a lot of a tough accomplishment, on their home floor and all that kind of stuff. So that's, you got a lot of good going forth here. But just to let you know that it was Idaho's Brian Blake who was the Big Sky Player of the Year this week, and he just named that today. And by the way, he went to Garfield too. He's a local guy. He's still having a great year for Idaho. So, just to get back to what's going on with your team and how this conference is shaping up. What do you think about some of the teams? Are you up two games right now? Do you feel you got the inside track to win this thing in the regular season and get that number one seed?
Well, we're sitting in a good spot, but how you finish is the most important thing. So for us, I'm just working on practice plan right now, and one of the notes I made for our guys is compete to improve the most, and I think we improved the most of anyone in our conference from November to December. And now we need to do that again from January to February. Someone will improve. Idaho could play better. Portland State could play better. Northern Colorado's playing well. There are a number of teams in this conference that could win it. We're sitting in a good spot. We're happy to be where we're at. But the second half, with nine games, in the second and down the stretch, anything can happen. So we need to finish the first half well. We've got NAU in Southern Utah this week to get us to the nine-game halfway mark. If we can finish that part strong and go in the second half of this thing and continue to play with momentum and aggression, we'll be sitting in a pretty good spot. But, we still got to play Idaho. We still got to play Weber. And those are two teams that are, right there tied for second that we haven't played yet. So I think it's still up in the air for anyone. And we just need to be focused, play best basketball we can play.
Yeah, there's a few other teams too that are pretty good in that league. It's funny how Portland State's really dropped off, but those guys look really great in non-conference against played a lot of great games in non-conference, and I completely count them out either. There's a bunch of good teams in that league. I'm noticing Jay Townsend. Are you able to give us a question for Coach DeCuir?
Well, I don't think so, Jim.
Okay, well, I'll just continue then. That's fine. Coach, I just want to let you know, I'm just looking over your stats. A lot of teams are shooting better from three than you guys. You're kind of shooting pretty badly from three, truthfully, and it's obviously not a big part of what you're doing. You're shooting 32% from three, and you got one guy shooting over 40, and he's like, as far as your on your depth chart, he's like one of the last guys in the rotation.
What are we shooting in conference?
That might be the thing. I'm not looking at the conference stats. I better go over to the official site
and get
that.
We're over 40% in conference. We've got one guy over 50% conference, four guys in the 40s. So part of that, you got to look at November. Your team, you go out, you're on the road for the better half of non-conference. So we had a week stretch and then another week stretch where we weren't in the gym very much because of travel. That fed into it. Some of it was, level competition was part of it. And then the other piece for us was just shot selection. From December to now, we've been a lot more selective with who's taking those threes and when we're taking them. I think we did a good job from about December 15th on of establishing the post. And the emergence of Jamar Coe offensively for us has led to a higher field goal percentage for us as well, just because when you play inside out, those shots are a lot easier to make when your shoulders are already square as opposed to coming off the screens or shooting off the dribble. So, I think we were over 50% from the floor and from three for our first five games at conference. So lately, guys like Bobby Moorhead, Amar Rory are taking the bulk of those threes, which are our better shooters, which are going to lead to a better percentage. And then there's some guys that have been taking some early that have not been taking them lately, and that plays a role in our percentages as well.
That sounds like good management. Yeah, I was just looking at it, and both those guys are shooting. Mod shooting 34, and Bobby's shooting 35. So which is, you know, obviously moving up as conference play goes, if training continues. But the other side of that equation is you're shooting well from the field overall this season, truthfully,
yeah,
as a team, and also from the free throw line. So I guess it's just been a kind of a slow start. I guess you sort of answered the question as to how you manage that. You make sure the guys who are a bit more productive or taking the shots, and you sort of manage it better. And that sounds to me like what you've done. And go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, you've got an off season, spring, summer, where guys are working on their game and they improve a little bit, and maybe they shoot well in the preseason before you start playing games. And so you give them an opportunity to go out and let a few fly and see what happens. And once, you know, you get about four or five games under their belt and percentages start to come together, you start figuring out where guys are and have some individual conversations and just become a little more selective with those shots.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. Getting over to what's going on with your schedule coming up, you've got some pretty tough games coming up here as this conference schedule goes. I mean, basically this week you'll be hosting a Southern Utah team and a Northern Arizona team. And those, you know, they're not near the top of the league, but both those teams are good competitors, and you're going to get them in your gym, and, you know, that should be interesting. What do you see as far as those matchups as being key to win, getting wins on those nights?
Well, they both play fairly different style of basketball, especially defensively, which, you know, from Thursday to Saturday sometimes makes your prep a little difficult. Southern Utah scores the ball at a high rate, quite a few games in the 90s. So defensively, we'll be challenged with some matchups there. They shoot the three very well. They've got three low post presents that are pretty good. So for us, it's going to, you know, Thursday night's going to have to be one of our better defensive games. They've played well as of late. You know, they lost in overtime at home to Montana State. They come from behind to I think, cut it to one against Idaho down the stretch of a game they lost by five, and then they lose in overtime to Eastern Washington. So they're playing good ball. NAU also had two close games with Eastern Washington and Idaho, which are, you know, two teams that are, you know, one's in second, one's in third in the standings. So they're playing well enough to compete, and our guys can't look past them, and they need to approach these games with the same amount of respect that they had for Montana State. And then we hit the road, which could be one of the tougher road trips in conference. Northern Colorado and North Dakota, who are also playing very good ball right now and have wins against teams like Idaho, Weber, and Eastern Washington. So we need to be on our P's and Q's. These next four games could determine a lot for us as some of these other teams start to cross over with each other, Portland State, Idaho, teams like that. So we could create more space for ourselves or find ourselves in a dogfight down the stretch over these next four games.
Yeah, either one wouldn't surprise me. You guys have really come on strong here and really got it together this year and established something. But then again, I also look at there's a bunch of teams out there that pretty scary teams. I mean, really, Idaho and
yeah,
Portland State even. There's some teams that you could have to watch out for. Weber also very tough. You know, it's just there's some good teams there to worry about. So as far as that goes, you know, as far as some of the other guys on the team, who are some of the pleasant surprises as this season's rolled on since last time we spoke to you as far as their development on your team?
Well, I think Timmy Falls is the one that's probably stood out the most. You know, incoming freshman, didn't have a whole lot of expectations in terms of numbers and minutes. We knew he'd be a good player for us. We just weren't sure what we would get. I think defensively he's been very impactful for us. And then another guy that can create offense for others has been huge for us. And so as his minutes have increased, our defense has gotten better, and our point production has increased. So I think right now he's made the biggest impact in terms of our growth over the last month, month and a half, and probably has caught some people off guard a little bit in conference just because he wasn't playing very much in the non-conference stretch. So right now I think he'd be the guy that's probably the biggest surprise in that regard. And then Bobby Moorhead defensively, a guy that's been able to shut some big time scorers down, especially the bigger wings that we've tended to struggle with in the past. And so I think those two things have led to our start at 7-0 as much as, you know, any of the numbers that stand out in terms of what Mike and Ahmad and Jamar have done for us offensively. But, you know, sometimes those glue guys are the ones that help you get over the hump, and I'd say those two have stood out the most in that regard.
Yeah, that sounds like it. And, you know, you've got a lot of guys that are working hard on the glass for it. It's a real balanced effort as far as on the boards. You know, you've got Jamar as your leading rebounder, but it seems like a lot of guys are working hard on the glass for you. What is it about your system that allows your team to have that kind of balanced rebounding?
Well, you know, group effort defensively. You know, we talk about flying around, and you know, one player, one possession, one situation isn't always one guy's, job or duty. We got to do things as a group. So, you know, you find yourselves in rotation a lot, and sometimes guards got to block off bigs, and bigs got to block off guards. But we always talk about five guys to the glass. You know, it's five guys' responsibility to not only get the rebound, but, you know, slow offensive players down as well. And so I think as long as five guys assume responsibility to get the ball, we'll continue to be a good team on the glass.
Sounds good. Now, you got some guys that transferred in, I believe, and have some other players that you've signed in November for next year. Well, is there anything you can say about the progress of some of these guys that are going to be around next year?
Well, we've got one guy sitting out as a freshman redshirt center, Kelby Kramer, who's, you know, he's added 30 pounds to his frame and developing offensively for us, and he'll be someone that will contest shots around the rim and score inside down the road. And then the only other guy really sitting out that will be an impact player for us is Donovan Dorsey, who should be playing this year, but due to injury is going to miss the season, who, you know, would have been competing for maybe a starting role, definitely minutes, and would be another offensive threat for us, especially from away from the rim. But unfortunately, we got to get him healthy and get him back next year. So those will be two guys that, you know, to look forward to impactfully for us next year.
Is Donovan a really good candidate for a medical hardship year for what happened
those
this year, even though he had a transfer year?
Those are down the road. They're hard to get, but the way they've been giving them out, I would assume he'd be a guy that's definitely deserving of one. But, you know, it's always a long process and a hard process. And I think his recovery and where he is in the next 6 months will play a role in that as well.
Well, that sounds really good, Coach. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show and filling us in with what's going on in the Big Sky, and anything you'd like to add about your team that's been remarkable over the course of this the 7-0 run in the conference.
No, just, you know, I know we're playing an entertaining style of basketball. If anybody's ever in the area, catch us putting a lot of points on the board and defending in a very entertaining way. And, you know, this conference is about as strong as it's ever been. Quite a few non-conference wins against top five conference teams, and this is going to be competitive down the stretch, and our conference tournament should be entertaining as well.
Yeah, as far as, like, any kind of a television exposure, do you have, like, I was looking at your site and your schedule. It's kind of hard to see. Is there anything that's going to be on TV, maybe in the Seattle area or nationally, that you can point to that's coming up?
No, I don't have that. But every game is televised on Pluto TV online. You can stream it or the app on your phone or on your computer. Every conference game is on that site.
Which site was that?
Pluto TV.
Pluto TV. Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and good luck with all these games. And I'm looking forward to hopefully is it possible an undefeated season in the Big Sky? We'll see. We'll see. We'll soon see. And I'd love
you
to see
said it. Not
so,
me.
Yeah, exactly. We'll give it's college basketball, so we know what that can mean.
No question.
So let's see what's going on. Coach Secure, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Well, Jay Townsend, can I hear you now? Are you there, my friend?
I don't know if you can hear me. Hello.
I can hear you. you're talking through a kazoo, but that's okay. I can hear you. So that was great. I mean, Travis DeCuire is a strong coach, as he's proven over time, and it's really paying off this year. Things are going right for him. Obviously, he talked about some of the woes early. A lot of those having to do maybe with the kind of competition those guys were playing, but they did get some good wins over the course of the non-conference season, and then they got a couple of good drubbings and such as that happens. But they fight through stuff. And, that's a good team, that Montana Grizzly team. And, Pluto TV might be a good place to look. Maybe you want to check that out. But so what's your impression sitting there in Spokane? You're a little over halfway to Missoula, actually two-thirds away to Missoula over there. What's your impression of what they're doing so far this year?
Well, 7-0 in any conference is outstanding. And, they played the tough non-conference and had some wins, some losses, and that type of stuff. And they got better. It's all about getting better. And you either improve or you don't. And Travis has got to be improving.
Yeah, he really has. And, I think that, he's he's moving. This team is really moving towards a big, big year next year. That they may possibly start seeing some talk nationally. With the kind of talent they're going to have. I mean, you're looking at what they've got going right now. Obviously I mentioned Donovan Dorsey coming back. They've got Mike Aguine. Aguine, he'll be back. He's a junior this year. He'll be a senior. This kid Timmy Falls from Dublin, California, apparently is a really good young freshman shooter. Their other main players in their rotation, the guys are really producing for him. Rory will be back for his senior year. Ako will be back for his senior year. Moorhead will be back for his senior year. It's like a really heavy duty senior type of a team. I mean, this is a team that maybe could make some noise nationally in the NCAA tournament. I mean, you never know. Might be able to get a win or two. This could be a really fun team to watch over these next couple of years. Lots of good players, and he's got a good system. It seems like it's working pretty well. So, getting back to the Pac-12 and the Washington Huskies and the Washington State Cougars. I saw the game last night against Utah. That Utah team's not that easy of a team. Washington State came in there, really played pretty good, and shot pretty well, but Utah just was ridiculous what they were able to do. I don't know what to tell you about that. Did you watch the game?
No, I sure did.
You didn't watch the game? Okay.
No, I haven't seen any for some time.
Yeah. Well, you're kind of are you sort of a little bit despondent about the way Ernie Kent's handling things over there?
Well, it's reminds me of Paul Graham, and when it got that bad, I just stepped back .
Yeah, I hear you. Well, I can talk about a little bit about what I see there. I'm pretty impressed with the shooters. And like I told you in the off season, I think the problem is going to be bigs. And I don't think they're alone in that in this conference. I think that Robert Franks, though, is a heck of a player. He's a heck of a stretch four. He's a guy that's, I think, got a good chance to play at the next level. He's just got a really good game overall. I mean, he had those 10 threes, 10 of 13 from the field against Cal over there in Pullman. And against Utah and Colorado, he was – this weekend he was pretty productive too. He's a good player. So I don't know that they just need some other guys that are bigs that can really, give them something there, I think, really there is what the problem is. Jay Townsend, I really do. What's your take on, since you've sort of walked away from it a little bit, maybe you can tell me why. Why is it that you've basically kind of lost interest this year?
Well, Well, you know, I've always been about recruiting, and the recruiting is just, it didn't seem to matter that they added a whole bunch of real good recruiters. They just can't recruit. And players that we were told were really good, they don't even see the floor. Now, how can you recruit two JC picks if neither one of them plays at all? You got your other graduate guy, and he basically is a point guard. And although he does rebound a little, the rebounding is just horrible by this team. In fact, it might be the worst rebounding team I've ever seen.
It's really bad. The Huskies have had some bad games too. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but it's just you know, I don't know. You got to recruit. They still haven't completed the 2018. I think they still have one scholarship open, and you're giving scholarships to walk-ons. There's some problems. It's like, you know, there must be 75,000 JC players in America, and they do have one good recruit, but you got to get four or five recruits. Yeah, and they just.
Well, they got one good recruit, and they got one good recruit out of the Puget Sound area who's a top-end, high-major D1 recruit, and that's one more than the Huskies got. So we got C.J. Ellerby, who's, I think, a big-time pickup for them. You add Ellerby to, you know, this team with Malachi Flynn and Beyonce Daniels and Robert Franks. And, you know, all of a sudden this is a pretty good-looking team, outside of the fact that they just don't have a big center of any sort that really is thrilling me much. I mean, maybe you move Franks to the post and you run some sort of a kind of a five, you know, four guard look around him that could be pretty impressive actually. But I mean, big teams are going to work you over. I don't know. Pollard is just not really the kind of guy that, you know, I think he's the kind of Pac-10 guy that or Pac-12 guy that makes, you know, that pads other teams' stats. You know, he's a good, solid player, but you need, like, if you're going to have guys like Pollard in your rotation, you need four other guys like him so that you've got enough depth to really play aggressively and not worry about foul trouble, you know, because he's you know, they just don't have a lot of post players. That's the problem. Is that not correct, Jay?
Well, right. No, that's 100% correct. And Pollard, I don't have any problem with Pollard. He's okay.
No.
But he's a 6'8 post player, and so he's already at a 4-inch disadvantage opposed to the Pac-12. The problem I have is JC recruits. He's got two of them. They're 6'9", 6'10". The one guy's supposed to be wonderful. He said, well, the wonderful guy I haven't even seen play. I don't know if he's injured. I don't care. Is there players that don't play that you spent scholarships on? It's like time for a coaching change, in my opinion.
Well, I've been really down on this. But then they went and got this staff together to recruit, and truthfully, it paid off big time with Ellerby. You know, when you're getting one more great recruit out of the Seattle area, especially from downtown Seattle, than University of Washington is, you're doing the right thing in recruiting at Wazoo. But on the other hand, you know, and then Curtis Allen's got the best guy out of Tacoma for 3 years straight, I think now. I mean, they're doing the right things as far as recruiting if you're at Washington State. And they even got himself a fifth-year grad transfer that's been pretty good, too. And they're doing a lot of good things there, but they just are not getting big men. I'm not sure if that's because they're not trying hard enough or what the problem is, but they've had only so much luck, and it kind of ran out when it came to the big man position. But they need to get some big men that can work for them and actually play for them. And, you know, I guess there's that guy from Tri-Cities, that big kid, that big 7-footer from Richland. What are you hearing about him?
I can't even tell if he has an offer. I thought he did, but
right,
not hearing very much. And
is he kind of a project? Do you think, or what are you thinking?
Well, probably, but so was James Donaldson. When you're 7 foot three, as George Raveling says, 7 foot three wins.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
He took Donaldson, who couldn't even inbound the ball, and made him a 15, 20-year pro.
Yes, he did. Yeah,
you gotta know how to
three,
coach and links. Yeah, and I don't know. I really don't know. But I'm done with them.
Yeah, okay. It's, well, we got a Huskies-Cougar game coming up this coming Sunday. So, this coming weekend.
My money's on the Huskies.
That's the thing. This is a great conversation this is a good conversation to have because
your money's on the Huskies, and I'm still not sold on the Huskies, even after this win over Colorado. A lot of people think
Cougars
I'm really crazy, but I don't know.
I think you're really crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'll add you to the list, and that's fine. I just think that, I said my piece, and I've said my piece on the show, and I'm going to continue to say it, that it was a horrendous decision to fire Lorenzo Romar. Now, that being said...
Yeah, well, that's historical.
That being said, well, I know it's historical, but, so was the sinking of the Titanic, and I guarantee the person that was responsible for the way that was run got fired, and I think Jen Cohen should get fired. But that's not the point. The point is that Mike Hopkins has done a good job. That those Huskies that were last year getting dumped on, and everyone was blaming Lorenzo Romar, like a lot of college players, took it personally, and instead of blaming, putting the finger on their coach, and they went and worked in the off season. You can tell guys like Sam Timmons, Dominic Green. Took personal responsibility for themselves, for their story, way that they did things last year. And guys like Matisse Thybulle and David Crisp, have come to play a few times this year and are more consistent. And they're playing more within their game, and they've improved their games, and they're doing some things better. And basically the whole team has. And people are trying to say that's because of coaching. And I just don't necessarily think that's the entire thing. I think it's college basketball. I think it's guys taking personal responsibility and getting better and listening to their coaches. I also think that the defense is better this year, and I think some of that has to do with Cameron Dollar, and I think he would have been there anyway. So, I think Lorenzo's a good coach, and you can see, by the way, Arizona's producing that they don't seem to be disappointed with his production there either. So, I just think that
I don't agree with giving Cameron any credit for defense when you're looking at a coach who's put in a defense from the zone, from the greatest zone coach in history, and they play a zone really well. That comes from the head coach, so.
I think so. I think that was just about ready to say, but you took a good time to stop me. But I think that needs to be said that Hopkins and the zone is working great. I think Cameron did a great job at Seattle U with defenses. His defensive stats reflect that over there this last few years. But I think that honestly, and he's helped out, and I think Will Conroy and has helped out, and I think Dave Rice has helped out quite a bit too. They're all doing a good job there at UW, and they're doing a good job to move this program forward. What's that? I'm sorry? Jade, I lose you?
Hello.
What was you going to say? Jay? Okay, well, I was just saying Jay will come back. Jay, go ahead and interrupt me when you're back. But I was just going to say that you're there. Okay, cool. So I was just going to say, I think they're doing a good job over there, and I don't think it's any big, mystery that they are. But they got a win over Colorado on the road. They got a win over USC on the road. They got a win over Kansas on the road. They really step it up. Problem is they're not stepping it up every single night. And they're also not really capable of matching up well against certain teams. Teams that have a lot of bigs give them trouble. Utah did, for instance. They just can't rebound, especially when it's crunch time and you got a tight game and the game's on the line and you need to get a rebound. They're not doing that late in game consistently. Didn't happen against UCLA, didn't happen against Utah. and it didn't happen, you know, against Stanford. Teams with a bunch of bigs and are tough for them. And, you know, and I think that their shooting can go up and down as it does for every team. And I think when they shoot well, they win. When they don't, they lose. So I think they're about a 6-12 team. You know, I thought before it was a 4-5 win team based on what I saw in non-conference, but they've picked it up to their benefit, and I'm real proud of them as a longtime Husky supporter. But that's kind of what I see. A lot of people think, well, you're crazy, Jim, because they already won four games. But this is a tough league, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I mean, if they could do better than that, then it's a win-win for me. So what do you think, Jay, about the Huskies? Do you think they can make 500 this year?
Hold on a second.
Sure. Well, while Jay's waiting, doing his thing, I hope he's not getting a ticket or anything like that. You know, a lot of people were saying that they're a 500 team. Some people are thinking better, but I looked down the pike with the Pac-12 schedule and with the Husky schedule. We got Jay. What is he doing over there? He is a character, to say the very least. Anyway, we got the Huskies schedule coming down, and you know, there's some real difficult challenges. I mean, you look at what's going on. I mean, obviously that Colorado game was a tough challenge, but Colorado is a team that doesn't have a lot of bigs. They got the one big senior who's kind of slow, Walton, who did a really good job on the road, by the way, down at the Arizona schools. But you know, other than that, they're not a lot of size, and I think that UW did a much better job of you know, what they do without being dominated and giving up 3-4 shots in every possession on the defensive end, like they did against a number of teams this year. So in key situations. So, you know, that's the thing. And I think Washington State's kind of weak in the post too. So you'd think that they'd have a good shot at beating the Cougars, like we discussed. But then again, there's other factors. There's the fact that the Cougars can also get very hot shooting, and the Huskies may or may not be able to counter that. When they have hot shooting games like they did against USC, they can beat some pretty incredible teams. But they don't do that every night. So it's a lot of ifs, ands, and buts about this Cougar-Husky game. I think it's a pretty well of a gimme. Jake Townsend thinks it's a Washington win. I think it's a pick 'em, just because it's a game that's going to go down to – I think it's going to be a highly contested game. Like, the Cougars have a lot of pride on the line, especially after this last couple of losses, and they're been tied in the cellar right now with Cal. So they got a lot to prove to kind of – that they've of some value here, and a lot of them are playing in front of their hometown fans and family and stuff like that. So Cougars are going to be going to be up for the game, and the Huskies may be a little bit too self-confident. So we'll see what happens on Sunday up there at Heck Ed. But that's going to be a fun game to watch if you can make it. But as the Huskies go down the stretch, I mean, if they win that game, they're 5-3. Then they get Arizona State and Arizona at home. You know, I like the way they could get a split. You know, that's going to be tough. I think they're going to get swept at home probably. Then they go down to Oregon and Oregon State on the road. If they can get a split down there, I think they're heading for good things. Maybe a 7-win season, something like that. They don't knock me out of far surpass my prediction. But I think there's also a good chance they could lose both those games, as often happens when you go on the road and head down to Oregon when you're Washington. Are you back, Jay?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, I was just kind of talking about how everyone thinks that the Huskies are going to be able to do what they've done, and that's get these splits on the road and you know, beat some teams at home or whatever and be like a, you know, 500 team or better. And I'm just not seeing that. What do you think the Huskies can do the rest of the way? That's what they've done so far. They're 4-5, 4-3 right now.
Yeah, you know, 4-3 is good. And, you know, they've done well so far, but I think they're going to start heading downhill.
That's kind of what I think, too. I'm so happy they beat Colorado. That was a tough win.
Well, that was a really nice win for them, and I think both Oregons are going to be tough.
Yep.
You know, it's it doesn't get easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think they'll beat the Cougars. But
you know, that's the thing. If they do beat the Cougars, if they can beat Cal down the road in Berkeley,
yep.
That's a hard thing to do. But if they can beat Oregon State at home, that's 3 wins. That puts them at 7 wins. That's a nice season considering everything, you know?
No, I think so. I think 6 would be, I think, more realistic, but 7
that's what
is certainly
I think,
not out of the, you know, it's not out of the realm.
Yeah, I think so too. 7 is really good. Surpasses the best of what I thought they would do. During non-conference, I was thinking 4-5, and a lot of people were making fun of me now for saying that, but I think 6 is probably where it's at, but 7 would be just fantastic. I just don't think they're going to beat Oregon this year. I don't think they're going to beat Stanford this year. I don't think they're going to beat Utah this year, and I don't think they're going to beat Arizona or Arizona State. I just don't think – they're not one of – I mean, they beat Colorado, and that was an amazing win. They beat USC. I just don't know if they got it in to win one of those games, but we'll see what happens. I mean, if they could beat Arizona State at home this after the Cougars and go to 6-3, boy, that'd be something else, you know.
I think you got to
think that maybe this team could make it into the NIT, you know.
Well,
that's
there's a lot of talent on this team, and it was always there, and I don't think you're giving the coaching staff nearly enough credit. I think the whole staff, they got these guys in the off season and in the season playing better. They just really do.
No, that's what you don't see. I give the staff credit. I've given the staff credit from the very beginning. To be honest with you, I've always liked Mike Hopkins from the very minute he stepped on campus. You know, I've been honest about that. I think he's a good coach. I don't think that's the problem. The problem is when you have a team like Nathan Hale. I grew up right next to Nathan Hale. I went to Roosevelt High School, which is the high school south of Nathan Hale. I've been watching Nathan Hale basketball for 50 years plus, okay? And I know what Nathan Hale's been over the past 30-something years. And to go into Nathan Hale with two brothers and maybe a couple other guys, two other D1 guys, one of whom was too young to even be in the rotation, and win the national title, if you weren't looking at that, you're not a basketball fan. And that's exactly how I feel about Jen Cohen. If you can't see that that's something extremely special, like
– I know, like, but you eventually have to just get past that.
I'm not going to get past that. She doesn't have any concept of what basketball is. If you don't see that that's special talent there, then you don't know the history of the Fab Five. You don't know the history of Larry Bird. You don't know the history of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Lew Alcindor. You don't know the legacy of true basketball greatness, and that's what those guys did. And she just doesn't even see that and can't understand why that's important. So she needs to be gone, okay? She's worse than Ernie Kent, because Ernie Kent never had really anywhere near that kind of a shot. He's just been kind of a mediocre middler. That was complete and total, just an abomination blunder of screwing that whole thing up. She should have at least let them do that. And then, you know, if Lorenzo, after a couple of years of that, still looks like he's really not able to do something, then you're not seeing something like that coming down the road. Then maybe that you let him go. But you shouldn't have done it then. That was completely wrong.
Well, no.
What do you think,
everybody,
Jay?
Everybody agrees with that. But what I'm saying is, just like Bill Moos. Bill Moos ignored basketball.
There you
and
go.
He wouldn't put a dime in it, and he did football. Well, now they're going to get an athletic director who can raise money. And Bill Moos was horrible at it.
Yep.
So, you know, but I noticed that nobody seems to have given Ernie the automatic 10-year increase after last year's pitiful performance.
They did.
And they got a big hunk of money there, and they don't have any money, so he's going to be around. So I just voted with my feet. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I hear
if a guy is trying or a woman is trying, that's one thing. But, no, I think the staff difference, the head coach, he gets all the credit and all the blame.
Yeah.
But they had a miserable set of assistant coaches at the University of Washington last year. I'm talking miserable.
Mm.
They couldn't coach. I don't think any
of them. One of them was still on the staff, so it wasn't that miserable.
Wow. He must have been the only one coaching then. The rest of them aren't. I mean, get some kid's dad on the staff because that lets you get the kid and whatever. But that was Lorenzo's method, and he had a great class, but it fell apart.
And he was going to upgrade the staff. He would have upgraded the staff. Chillis was already gone. He had Dollar coming in. He would upgrade the staff.
Oh, yeah,
he's made good choices. He's made good choices on staff members. He got Lamont Smith, who's doing really well down there at San Diego as a head coach now. He knows he's gotten good assistants that know X's and O's and helped coach basketball team before. And he just needed to get recruits in there, Jay, and he did that better than anybody ever has at Washington. And he got fired for it, which
just
shows how legit.
That's true,
I mean, the funny thing about
this,
Jay, the funny thing, let me just say one more thing. People think that some people are mistaken enough to know me, not know me well enough to think that somehow I'm being extra hard on her because she's a woman or LGBT or something like that. Bottom line is that's what pains me the most. I really want to see her succeed.
I
just
blame
can't
you
stand what she did.
Yeah.
Okay, people know.
You know, it's just Moose. I was happy the day he walked. Really happy.
Right.
And that's just the way it was. I never liked the guy. But did he do a bunch for us? Yeah. Well, it's all relative.
No, it is. Moose needed to go. He did really well for Cougar football. So if you're a Cougar football fan, you're thrilled right now. And that's cool. But Mike Leach has done a really good job. There's no question about it. And obviously all my heart goes out to Kyler Olinsky and the Cougar Nation right now still. But I wanted to just say that, you know, the football team's fantastic, and she's done he did a good job with that. But I think he had to go, and, you know, I'm glad he did because basketball is important to me. I like to see Cougar basketball come back to where it was respectable again.
Well, it's kind of like when you think back to guys that they could have gotten, like Travis. I have no doubt if Travis would have been offered the job instead of Ernie, he'd have taken it.
Yep.
It's not like Ernie isn't getting paid a fair wage. He's not. He's making good bucks.
Yeah, I would guess.
But he's got a better staff now, and Ed Haskins, a good guy, and Curtis Allen, I like.
Yep.
In fact, not in sales. He's got a really good staff.
Yep. Well, they got some good
and
players.
And you watch
they got
some
that,
of the play, and
Gags.
I think it's gotten better. But it's all about basketball. It's about the Jimmy and the Joes.
Mm-hmm. True.
And if you get them and if they turn out, you never know. I mean, injuries, things happen.
Well, let's talk about Cougar basketball. I think we're missing out on a really important conversation, and that's Skaggs. And that guy is his first year in D1. He's a heck of a shooter. He's a heck of a competitor. He's not one-dimensional, just a plain shooter. He's a heck of a competitor, scrapper, rebounder. He goes in there and scraps. I love the way the guy plays. What's your impression of Skaggs?
I can't play defense. It's too slow.
Okay.
But he's a wonderful shooter. He doesn't rebound particularly well. He's slow.
He tries really hard. He's slow.
He's just slow. He works hard.
Yeah.
And
he tries hard.
He can get hot and shoot the absolute eyeballs out of it.
He tries hard. That's important, though. And it's good for the rest
of
your team.
Well, I think so, too. I don't have any problem with Skaggs. I don't have any problem with most of the players. The problem I have is with the two J.C. Biggs who never showed up.
Yeah.
And, you know, they also had Gittens on this team if he'd have made it into school.
He still could make it next year. We'll see.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hearing that's a possibility.
I think that's right. And, you know, Ock was a little bit weird.
Yeah,
but
he seems like he's been
Ernie,
disappointing, but time's okay.
Well, I don't know. I think Travis is having a heck of a season.
Yeah, he is. He really is. I think the Cougars, I think they just need to go out and find some bigs. I don't know where they're going to find them. I don't see why they can't get foreign guys. What's the problem with that? Why can't they get foreign guys? Gonzaga gets them every single year. I mean, can't believe the guy they have coming in there next year. I never thought I'd see as good of a big man as Sabonis, and this guy's better, I think, possibly.
There's an interesting guy. Can you imagine why is Tommy Lloyd still an assistant coach?
You know, somebody told me about a long time ago, many years ago, like 5-6 years ago or more, that he people just think he's not wouldn't be a good head coach.
Well,
that
I think
he
that,
wouldn't be a good
I
head
tell
coach.
You what,
and I don't understand
if I was,
that.
If I was an athletic director, I'm not sure. Most places, you know, it's not just about what you do. It's your a lot of it is, you know, it's the connections and if you can get the assistant. I for the life of me, I'd offer the guy $3 million a year, and he just it's all about money. These coaches are
In my case, it's not what I say; it's what I don't say. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. No, you're right. It's just 100% about money. It's like, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'd just offer the guy enough money, and I'd try him out.
Yeah. I would agree with that. You know, I'm surprised that it hasn't happened. But for some reason, he's just hanging there, and maybe he thinks he's going to be the head coach of Gonzaga when Pugh retires. Maybe he just likes that role.
Well, yeah, he's supposed to be, but that might be 10 years.
Yeah, well, they're doing pretty good, but they just lost to St. Mary's here. Did you see that game?
I watched part of it.
Yeah, I gotcha.
I'm not quite sure why they lost to St. Mary's. That was a big Cougar win, you know?
Yeah, I just think St. Mary's is good. I don't think there's any question that St. Mary's is good, and I think Gonzaga is good, and I think that BYU is actually okay this year. I think other than that league is kind of soft. San Diego's sort of okay. They're sort of kind of showing some signs of life down there. But that league is a real soft league, like 4 through 8, you know. There's like three good teams, you know, that's it. So I don't know that – I think that all three of those teams will be playing in the postseason. I'm sure one of them will be in the NCAA tournament, maybe probably two, you know. What do you think about the Pac-12? Who do you think is going to get in the NCAAs in the Pac-12? I'm asking you, Jay.
Arizona, Utah.
Utah, really? Wow, that's well. They could. They're really starting to go on a roll. You know, they've got a couple of wins now after a losing streak, and they just may. Utah, okay. Who else?
Oh, probably UCLA.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people are counting them out, thinking that they're on the verge of being out of it. But I've been thinking all along they were going to be one of the top teams, if not the top. So you and I are kind of on, you know, the same thing. I've been trumpeting Utah. So, who else besides those three? USC's in second place right now.
Well, Arizona State's certainly playing well right now.
They are, and they're going to be good. I agree with you there.
And they
so
got some real quality wins.
That's four. So who else you got? Is USC going to get in?
You know,
they had a bad non-conference season, but they did win that Diamond Classic towards the end of their non-conference season.
Yeah, they lost to
I think
UW.
They're in. They lost to UW, but I think they're in. I think USC's got a lot of talent, my friend.
The guy paid for a lot of stuff.
Well, that's the thing. I think that right now the 1 and 2 teams in the Pac-12, their head coaches are under indictment with the FBI. So, yeah.
Or their
assistant coaches, yeah. So that's how you judge that. So yeah, but I mean in the Pac-12, we definitely have some some talent, I think, right now. I really do. I think that, honestly, I think Colorado, as much as UW beat them, has got a good matchup, tough matchup when they're tough, you know, with that freshman and the rest of that team.
I thought Wazoo should beat Colorado.
Yeah, they lost him by 10, 9 or something.
They just
I think Stanford's
up.
Looking good. How about Stanford?
Well, Stanford plays really hard, but who did I watch them play the other day?
Arizona.
Know. You know,
Arizona
I think
State.
There's going to be less than you think because I think the national belief will be that the Pac-12 is weak again.
Yeah, they're probably going to say it this year. It seems like that kind of a year, but there's teams. I mean, USC should get in. I think that if they're in second place now, if they stay there, they should get in. UCLA was in first place not too long ago. Now they're down the pike quite a bit, but they could come back and they definitely have talent enough to and have a couple of really solid non-conference wins. And then they could very easily get in. Arizona State could get in, should get in for sure. Arizona should definitely be getting in, but you'll see about that. But I think Stanford's got a shot still. They're right there after that loss to Arizona, 2-point loss that it was at home. And then I think Utah and Colorado are sort of in the mix. And I think Oregon's an interesting question. I think that they're going to make a run here and pull it together, but I've been thinking that all year and it hasn't happened, just like I've been thinking that UW is going to fall apart and it hasn't happened. So we'll just have to see what happens there. But
I think this year is going to be the anomaly. I think,
you know, it's been the
Oregon
anomaly. How many conference road wins, you know, by sort of, you know, questionable teams have we seen this year? I mean, unbelievable upset.
A lot.
Lots.
And I think UW is going to do better than normal.
Yep.
And I think Oregon is going to do worse than normal.
Okay. Well, there we go. I think that that's two things I did not predict, and I may end up being very wrong.
No, I didn't
wrong
either. I mean, you and I are always up on Oregon.
Well, it's because we've seen them do it year in, year out. Neither of us like them.
I thought UW would be 12 this year. I thought Ernie should have had a better squad than UW.
I thought UW was going to be like better than they were last year, but that the conference was so tough that ninth was about the best they could do. So we'll see if I end up being right. Seems like that it's not likely. But I have to stick with what I said, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah, I think eighth or ninth is probably about right. But
we'll see what happens. Everyone else is saying they're going to be. Someone last night, Tyrone told me he thought there's a chance they could go 12-6. Let's go.
The bigs.
Tyrone.
They got really no bigs at all.
What's that?
They got. You know, they got a shortage of base.
Yeah, that's the thing. When they go up against teams, I think Oregon's going to do that to them. I think that UCLA is going to do that to them, and I think that Arizona is going to make it real tough on them, real tough. You know, so. And I think that Arizona State will figure out a way to get into that zone with those quick slashers and all those 3-point shooters. Arizona State, a lot of UW guys think that UW zone is going to do to Arizona State what they did to Kansas. And that could be. They could have a great game with keeping guys from shooting from 3-point. But it's going to leave a lot of room open in the middle, and Arizona State's got some really good slashers and a couple of guys that can score in low when they get the ball down there. And UW doesn't exactly have Ralph Sampson down there. So, yeah, I think Arizona State's going to beat them. I think the Cougars could very easily beat them, Jay. I honestly do. But we'll see. I mean, UW played some pretty bad games this year. That LMU game, that Montana game. That Seattle U game, there's some really clinkers. So I don't know if they got it in them to play great like they did against Colorado and USC. and for that matter, Wazoo over there in Pullman, you know, or Kansas, every night in, night out. If they could play that great night in, night out, and somehow find the magic potion to be able to do that from here on out, then a lot of things could happen for them.
Well, I think that's right, and you know, I think it's just like watching the Cougars when they got this big guy. He handles the ball pretty well, and but they never drive. I mean, if you think back to when the Cougars beat Washington, was it last year or the year before? I mean, it was just Malachi Flynn drove the rack. And that was sort of the end of the Huskies.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do that. Now they kind of drive a little bit, and they punch it out. Some guy takes a terrible three-point shot. Now, if they're all getting hot, it's you could beat nearly anybody, but they don't seem to all get hot.
Yeah, well, I think so. I think you're right about that. Well, Jay, we had another good week. I don't know if I'm going to buy any stock in the Bluetooth company that you got going there, but I'm hoping that it was good to have you anyway. Any old way you can make it over here, it's good to have you. And I'm sorry the Cougars are not anything for you to be enamored with right now. I personally think there's something to be optimistic about the Cougars. You know, if they get Gittens, Ellaby in there next year with all these really great, you know, players they got, Malachi Flynn, Franks, Skaggs, you know, Deontay Daniels. I mean, that's a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent right there. And then if they can just somehow find some kind of an oddball big guy to add to Pollard and whatever one of these JC guys are going to finally start playing next year, maybe they could actually have a team that could compete in this league, you know?
Well, I'll let you follow them. I've totally given up on them. And, that's sort
they need
of
Mark
that's
Eaton. They need Mark Eaton. Huge guy in the middle.
Yeah, what they need to do is go to Serbia or one of these places and get a few guys that can play ball.
Or Mongolia or someplace. I don't know. Does
don't,
Benny Seltzer
well,
like to go to? Does he like to go to Mongolia?
You know, I have no earthly idea. No idea. But
well, they've gone to Seattle and Tacoma and done
Bluetooth.
Really well, though. That's one thing. What's that?
Yeah. Sorry about the Bluetooth, but the fines are too much now.
I hear you, brother. That's totally
and they're
great.
All over it. But yeah.
It's really kind of you to take the time to call our show when you've got other things to
do.
Well,
I really wanted to listen to Travis. And 7-0 in the big – that Big Sky is not an easy league, you know.
No, it's not.
And he's recruiting.
If the Huskies and the Cougars were in that league, they'd be doing really well right now with their talent level.
Yeah.
Don't you think? I think that'd be great. I think you bring in Tim Pollard. I mean, not Tim Pollard. You bring in Pollard. What's his first name, Pollard?
Escapes me.
Yeah, it's okay. We just call him
not
Pollard
Brian.
For years now. Yeah. So we bring in Pollard and Franks to the Big Sky. You're going to really compete well against the bigs over there. And then you got all these other guards. Boy, you'd be killing it.
Yeah. I mean, he's got plenty of bigs too. And all his guys that rebound, that's impressive. I look at rebounding, and you know, I thought this graduate transfer would be a much better rebounder.
Mm-hmm.
But he is
talking.
There's guys that rebound in. There's some that are natural, like I think Hawkinson was a natural rebounder. But
yeah.
Some
he covered
just,
up for a lot of mistakes, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's just, I don't know, kind of how it works,
they,
I guess.
They need another guy like Hawkinson or Baines to walk on campus next year. That's what they need.
Well,
I wonder
what happened
to
all their recruiting of – Australia. I don't know.
Well, it's they're not doing that anymore. They got they've gotten some really good players, Jay. I personally really like Skaggs. I know you think he's slow and can't play defense and he's not much of a great rebounder. It's also his first year in D1, so he seems like a guy that'll go out there and scrap for you, you know.
Well, and plus he's capable of going for 25 points anytime he feels like it.
If he gets hot,
he's going to be tough, no doubt.
I love the way he shoots. I turn the TV on just to see him shoot the ball. I mean, his stroke is so compact.
What you need to do is turn the TV on and watch Virginia.
Boy, I'll tell you, Kyle Guy, man, what a player.
Yeah. Well, what a coach. What a defensive system.
No kidding.
You know, and to realize that you had that guy, and the only reason you don't have that guy is you wouldn't give him facilities, airplane flights, and pay him much.
Yeah, that's disappointing for sure. But and that's really sad. And look what you ended up with, you know. It's really sad.
Yeah.
At least Kenny Bone knew how to go out there and find big guys.
Yeah. No, that's true.
He found a couple really good ones, Hawk, you know.
Where is he, by the way? Have you heard?
No, we haven't really heard from Ken.
I haven't either.
Haven't heard from Ken. And low profile. Low profile Ken. Isn't he at Gonzaga?
Is he still at Gonzaga?
I don't know. I haven't seen him on the bench when I watch him on TV. They don't show any faces on the bench down there.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Hey, great stuff, Jay. For Talking Hoops, this is Jim Bass night. And I think more than ever, we need to always be a good sport. Be a good sport always. So long.
Bye-bye.